Welcome to the IAB UK podcast.
Hello and welcome to a very special Leadership Summit edition of the IAB UK podcast. From the IAB, I'm James Chandler, bringing you a mini pod, if you will, a backstage interview with Sophie Ridge, political correspondent at Sky News. For the uninitiated, Leadership Summit is the IAB's annual coming together of industry leaders, providing a crucial opportunity to discuss shared challenges, debate the big issues, and help build a better future for digital advertising. This year, we returned to our spiritual home of Sopwell House in St Albans. Sophie gave a fascinating speech on day one, sharing her thoughts on the key political moments to look out for in 2024 in what is the biggest ever year for democracy across the globe, and what a change of government here in the UK could mean for business and industry. The IAB's Charlotte Robinson managed to grab 10 minutes with Sophie just before she went on stage, and they chatted about the major themes likely to shape a UK general election campaign, where Sophie gets her news from, and checks notes, her take on who's going to win the Premier League. But first, Charlotte started off by asking Sophie to give a flavour of what to expect from her Leadership Summit address.
Hello, Sophie. Welcome to Sopwell House this morning. We're speaking today before you give a speech at Leadership Summit 2024. So I'm hoping you could give our listeners a flavour of what you're going to be talking about on stage later today.
Yeah, I can. Firstly, it's lovely to be here. Sopwell House is absolutely stunning, and it sounds like it's a really exciting event that's going on. So it's great to be a part of it. So the billing is, I guess, my kind of analysis and predictions for the next year, which is always a bit of a mug's game in politics because everything is extremely unpredictable. But I do think there are some predictions that we can make for how politics is going to fall about the timing of the election, which I think we've got a much clearer idea of now, post-budget, actually. I think it's definitely, or, you know, maybe that's a bit too strong, but almost certainly to be later in the year now. Late autumn is where I would go. And the result of the election as well, all the indicators are pointing towards a change of government, and not just any old change of government, potentially a redrawing of the electoral map as well. So it's a pretty exciting time in British politics. And I think we're just trying to, I guess, unpick what that's going to look like, get a bit more from Labour about what they might do, you know, if they do take power, as everyone expects. And also, I guess, just see how the next year is going to be, because it's going to be an awfully long election campaign.
Great. So you wake up in the morning, you grab your coffee. We know you're a coffee drinker.
I am.
Where do you go to get your news in the morning?
So the first thing I do is my phone, I'll be honest. I think most people are like that. I'm a phone addict. So the first thing I'll do is I'll start, you know, looking at my phone. I'm a Times subscriber as well. So we do get the kind of the old school paper through the door every morning as well. So yeah, I'm a Times subscriber. And other than that, I think I'm not very loyal when it comes to where I get my news from, is what I would say. I kind of flit around all over the place. So try and use lots of different sources, which I think is actually quite a good thing. Because I think if you just look at one thing, then you do get a bit of an echo chamber as well. Twitter, I get a lot of news from Twitter. And then obviously TV as well. So Sky News, and I'll try and watch a couple of the other bulletins as well. I'm a bit of a news junkie, I'll be honest.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely not good to stay in one bubble because then you're only getting one set of opinions. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Looking ahead to the year, as the UK prepares for a general election, what do you see as the major themes that are going to be shaping the campaign?
They often say that the people who win the election are the people who define what the election's about, which I think is usually true, but I don't think that's completely true this year, because I feel that Labour are going into it trying to not exactly set the political weather, but in a quite a risk-averse way, being the alternative to a government that's very unpopular. And look, it's working, right? They're 20 points ahead in the polls. So, you know, hats off to them. It seems to be working. So I think in a weird way, we're going to see the kind of losing side of the election shaping the campaign, because we know it's the Conservatives who are determined to try and pull the political debate onto the areas where they're more comfortable. So tax cuts, immigration, culture wars, those are the three things that they want to be talking about.
Yeah, and I guess after the budget yesterday, we can sort of see that this isn't a pre-election budget.
Exactly. That was my overriding impression. So I was presenting the budget coverage, and it almost took me by surprise when Jeremy Hunt, the Chancellor, stopped speaking. I was like, oh, right, no, this is me. Like, this is me now, right? I thought he was going to talk for a bit longer. I thought there was going to be something else, but then there wasn't. It just stopped. So I'll be honest, that did really take me by surprise. I thought there was going to be a rabbit. I mean, look, don't get me wrong, 2p off national insurance, that is a big, expensive policy that lots of people are going to feel in their pockets. But that was briefed out already. You know, if it was in a pre-election budget, you would expect there to be more. And actually, if you look at the, you know, the kind of red book, if you crunch all the numbers, then actually the giveaway this budget was pretty small. It was much smaller than the autumn statement, for example. It was quite a small fiscal event. And that really suggests to me that, firstly, there ain't going to be an election around the corner. And secondly, there's going to be another fiscal event before the next election, because they can call a budget whenever they want, or they can call it something else, autumn statement. I think you can see that happening.
Yeah, I'm quite sad, actually. I had my money on a May election, so I'm going to be losing
I've got 2 weeks off
friends.
In April, so to be honest,
amazing.
I'm hoping to try and secure that.
Yeah, you don't want to lose that to an election campaign. Okay, there's more than 2 billion people across 50 countries that could be heading to the polls this year. We've heard a lot about the rise of AI in recent years, the big opportunities and the dangers that the tech poses. What impact could this technology have on electoral campaigns, do you think?
Honestly, I don't feel like AI is going to have a huge difference on this UK election campaign. That's not to say that the digital campaign doesn't matter. It absolutely does. But AI itself, I don't think it's going to swing this election. I think it's more likely to have an impact on the US election, to be completely honest, where we often see this in politics, where what happens in the US, that happens first, and then it takes a little while to feed through to impact on a UK election. So I would have all my eyes on how AI influences the US election and then be thinking, that's what's going to happen here next time around. I mean, we have seen some kind of like deep fakes of politicians. I remember the sort of fake recording of Keir Starmer, for example, but I don't think that was actually AI. I think that was just a mockery. So I think we can see a future when AI starts to influence elections in negative ways. But at the same time, I guess, you know, there are also a lot of opportunities around AI as well. And I think that politicians and parties, if they're smart, will start looking at how they can use AI to maximise their message and to, I guess, do some jobs that they don't necessarily need humans to do. That might be a bit scary for some, but I think it is realistic as well, probably.
We've got the UK and the US elections, obviously, this year. Are there any other elections around the world that you're going to be keeping a beady eye on?
Oh, my gosh. So it's, like, the biggest election year ever. I think, like, 2 billion people are voting. So, you know, it's going to be huge. You know, India, across Europe, there's elections. It's going to be a real bumper election year. So I think, to be honest, it'd be so interesting to see how it all happens. I think what we've also seen is, it feels like quite a destabilised world at the minute, is what I would say. I feel like democracies are being questioned. People are in some places looking for what I would describe as kind of like strongman leaders. You can see that in the States, but also in other countries as well, across the world. Russia, obviously, China, South America, and some parts of South America too. And I think that it's a big change to global politics, and there's definitely risks attached to that as well. But then, you know, people vote. You can't change how people vote. That's, you know, democracies. That is the point of democracy, isn't it? That leaders get in whether we like them or not, whether we in the UK would prefer to do business with them a lot or not. But I think it certainly feels quite an unstable place at the minute.
Yeah. One more question, because you are due on stage very soon. Bit of a handbrake turn. I know you're a football fan.
Oh, here we go.
Sheffield Wednesday, I
love this. You've done your research. Well done. I'm impressed.
Who's going to win the league this year?
Well, I would love to say it was Sheffield Wednesday, but given we're second from bottom, I think that is unlikely. I think we might stay up, though. You know, I'm pretty excited. The Premier League, who's going to win the Premier League? I mean, it's going to be Man City, isn't it? I think it's going to be Man City.
I'm Arsenal. It needs to be Arsenal. Come on, Arsenal.
Arsenal almost choked at the end. I'm really sorry. I hate to say it. But as a neutral, I think it's going to be Man City.
I sadly agree, unfortunately. Well, thank you so much, Sophie, for your time this morning. I'm so excited for your speech. I know everyone at the IAB is as well. And thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, it was a real pleasure. Thanks so much for giving me your time as well. Thank you.
Sophie Ridge there, Sky News' political correspondent. So interesting to hear her predictions about the general election. And if you want to learn even more about what delegates heard over the 2 days of Leadership Summit, then we have very handily put together a selection of highlights for you over on our website. We'll link to that in the show notes. Stay tuned as well for a second instalment of Leadership Summit 2024 on the pod. Later this week, you can catch up on all the behind-the-scenes gossip from Stockwell House and find out what speakers and delegates enjoyed, learned, and debated over the jam-packed 2 days. But for now, thank you, Sophie. Thank you, Charlotte. And thank you for listening.
IAB UK, building a better future for digital advertising for the benefit of everyone.